Chapter 11. Militsia threw in every move she knew and let the music ripple through her. She might be big, but she had a lot of muscle control. She knew exactly what she was doing with her body. Etienne was a conquest already, so she let him alone, targeting others. As usual, stepping out into the light, she immediately picked the prospects. Young men were best, especially if they were quiet, withdrawn, a little embarrassed. Those were the ones who turned to fire most rapidly, who reached most easily into their pouches and came up with the coin. This afternoon, the dwarf had given her quite a workout. She wondered if she was up to another session with a more normally sized lover. In the end, it was worthwhile. Each pfennig got her nearer to escaping from Gropius and the Flamingo Club. There were two good prospects. First, there was the young man sitting near the stage, barely restraining himself. She found that the music often took her near him, and she took care to lean over and make her shoulders work hard. She let a scarf drip away from her big, ridiculous tits and stroked herself. That always gave the customers a charge. The fools. The number two possibility was a little older and a lot quieter, sitting back away. His face was in darkness, but she got the impression of a softly handsome man. He was feigning total lack of interest, but she could see through that. He was so elaborately not looking at her that she knew his interest was keen. The front seat boy would be easier, but perhaps number two would be more rewarding. Once he was started, he might be a real swordsman. This was a strange commission, she thought. The Bretonian dwarf and his celestial friend were up to something. Everybody in this room wanted something and was working hard to get it. She was no different. She climbed the strong curtains and scissored her legs in the air. The big Norseman yelled his approval, and the beautiful woman sitting in front of him, looking angrier and angrier, glanced death at her. She went back to the front seat boy and gave him some more interesting views. She unpeeled a scarf from around her middle, allowing the paste gem in her belly button to catch the light, and gently flicked out with it, brushing the boy's nose. He was startled, but laughing. Kneeling down, she looped the scarf around the boy's neck and worked away. His eyes were firmly fixed on her chest, and she noticed that he wore more jewellery than most ladies of the court. His face was familiar, but she did not know who he was. Two men in armour were marching towards them, seriously intent on protecting their charge from strangulation. She took back her scarf and stood up, working her hips from side to side. Suddenly, she knew where she had seen a face like that before. In profile, it was somewhere very close to her heart, on one face of the Karl Franz crown. That put the front seat boy out of her dicing league. She was ambitious, but she knew her limitations. The future emperor was disappointed, but his metal-covered bodyguards obviously felt better. Maybe in a few years, she thought, he would give the household Halberdiers the slip and search her out. Even emperors are men in the end. The flautist was in a frenzy now. Militsia had heard he was half-elf or something. She moved faster, loosening the remaining scarves. Her chest was tired of jiggling, and she had an ache in one ankle. But she danced on. Etienne was clapping in time to the music, and the Norseman was singing along. At least half the audience was appreciative. She wondered about the celestial. Miel, at the Flamingo, had been with a Cathayan once and claimed it was a fantastic experience. He had supposedly been the master of some mystic art or other, and it turned out to have applications beyond the obvious. No, the celestial was too wrapped up in his own schemes even to pay attention. That left number two. She vaulted off the stage, almost cartwheeling, and strode towards the shy swordsman. He would be hard to draw out, but she had never failed yet. Militsia, Miel had said, You could seduce the statue of Sigmar outside the temple. She poked out her tongue and licked her lips. Number two shrank back into the darkness. Gently, gently. She had worked up a sweat, and it was rolling like oil down her body. It would be a struggle, but she would dance on. Wolf ran, trying to escape the witch and the knifeman, but also to escape from the thing inside him. Trudy was dead, and the witch had shown him killing her. He was on the street of 100 taverns. A mob was surging down it, calling for blood. He was overwhelmed by the smell of fear, of anger. He was pushed against the wall of Bruno's brewhouse by the press of people. His chest hurt where he had cut himself. He tried to struggle free and heard a scream, sharp and pained, close by his head. He realized he had dragged his hook up through a man's back. He tried to apologize but could only gabble. He was practically sobbing. His hook came free and the man staggered off, blood flowing, apparently without noticing his wound. There was a green velvet carpet down by the Matthias II. The mob snatched it up and it was torn instantly to shreds. Death to the green velvet! Wolf didn't understand. He saw Yefimovich, the agitator, among the crowds, his arms waving. He staggered into the alley between the two inns, making his way towards the sound of flowing water. He was free of the crush. His hand went through an open window, and on an impulse, he pulled himself through into the darkness. There was darkness outside, but it was the dark in himself that made him terrified. Delarougier watched Militzia trying hard with the young von Liebowitz and felt sorry for the silly girl. There was no way she could know she was wasting her time on him. Still, this was proving to be a most interesting and rewarding evening.
Out of our way, Harold said. Let us through.
Rosanna supposed there were very few men in the Empire who could make themselves be listened to in a situation like this. The street of 100 taverns was a battleground again, but on a larger scale than before. The hooks and the fish were fighting side by side, following Yefimovich's revolutionaries. And the League of Karl Franz was pitching in to back up the Knights Templar, the Palace Guard, and what little was left of the Watch. She realised that more people were being killed within her sight at this very moment than the Beast had managed throughout his rampage. Captain Kleindienst shouldered his way through. Wolf still left a trail, and she could still fix on it. The poor creature was mad with fear. This was not the predator she had imagined. They were very near where this had all started for her, the alley where they had found Marguerite Ruttmann. Helmut Elsa Esser couldn't be less interested in Militzia. Even the Countess Emmanuel didn't hold much attraction for him this evening. It was in the air, like ozone, a kind of excitement that was terrible and wonderful at the same time. The music gave him a headache. Inside, he felt feverish, but his face and hands were cold, almost shivering. Near the door, he could hear something of what was going on outside. A lot of people were shouting and there was great destruction. He should do something, but he was under orders to stay with the Baron Johann. Very well. He would follow the example of brave Sigmar and hold his position to the last.